So I have used Hawksoft for just about 15 years, and I started with them because I was a very small agency, just by myself, probably had a part-time person at the time, and needed an affordable agency management system that allowed me to drop and drag emails. That was the biggest reason, is I was an email user. I'm a document person, afraid of E&O. And as a result, I didn't want one of those programs that I had to go browse for an email and drag it up, or find it and click it. That's why I chose Hawksoft, was the drop and drag feature. From there, why I stayed would be because I can actually reach a human being 97, 98% of the time that I need a human being to help me with a question or a problem. When I'm in the middle of a problem, I kind of need to fix it right now. And so submitting a ticket that says, call me back, I close at 4:30. When they call you at 4:38 and say, sorry, we missed you, call us tomorrow and submit a new ticket, doesn't work for me. I need to be able to solve my problem now as quickly as I can so I can move on. And for 15 years, that's what Hawksoft has provided me with, is a live person who can answer my questions on the first call the vast majority of the time. So I'm Dawn Janes Bartley. I own Minnesota Insurance Group and Aspen Insurance Group. And my why is because I can reach a live person every day of the week.
Hey guys, it's Bradley. I want to tell you about Ascend. Ascend is not just another premium finance company. Ascend will solve all of your agency bill problems through automation of invoicing, premium financing, carrier payables, all the way to the end of the workflow. There's a lot of hidden costs with how you're doing business today. AMSs, CRMs can spend more than half the day chasing down payments, following up on non-pays, getting signatures for financing docs. This leads to an overworked, overwhelmed, unhappy team. And guys, you want your team to be happy. Industry's hard enough as it is. We really need them to be happy. As your agency grows, this issue gets worse and worse. And we typically solve the problem with a little bit of software, but a ton of manpower is still involved. With Ascend, you can use a software-first solution and just need a little bit of manpower, allowing you to grow without significant increase in overhead. Ascend automates all of these repetitive payment processes so your team can get back to helping your clients. With Ascend, we've seen non-payment cancellations in our agency go down up to 95%. Teams save more than 20 hours per month when they work with Ascend, and an average of a 75% decrease in payment-related customer questions. Guys, if people aren't calling your office with questions, you have more time to sell and grow your agency. Visit useascend.com/insurance, guys. Guys, Ascend makes agency bill as easy as direct bill, but you keep all of the benefits of agency bill, the best of both worlds. Thanks, guys.
Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys Podcast, powered by Hawksoft. God, I love Hawksoft. My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for I Protect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome. He is a 6'3" sophomore from Mobile, Alabama. Parade first team All-American, Rivals five-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome the incomparable Mr. Bradley Flowers. How are you, Bradley?
Fantastic. I just got to watch you change your shirt.
Skinned off in the old podcast studio, Bradley.
We change shirts between podcasts for continuity purposes.
So we just ate lunch, guys, and I just spit my lunch all over this desk doing that intro, but that's okay. We've got a cleaning service for that. Bradley, I got the craziest story
this
you've ever
heard. This desk lost its virginity the first time we podcasted on it. So yeah. There's marks in the wood from where you take your notes every time we come.
You know what? He is absolutely right, folks. Sorry about that. I'll bring my sander down next time and we'll get that figured out.
No, it's okay. It tells a story.
Brady,
you know, one day I'm going to look at that and cry.
Probably in the not too distant future. Shut up. Since I treat my body like Six Flags over Georgia, Brad, I got the craziest story I've ever told in my life on this podcast. Crazier than me watching a guy bleed out on the sidewalk last night at 11 o'clock. So let's back up to go forward. I am driving yesterday to Mobile, Alabama, to podcast all day today, all day tomorrow, and it's about a 5.5-hour drive from my house to downtown Mobile.
to the hotel that I usually stay at, which is, I always forget the name of it. What's it called?
Hilton Garden Inn.
Hilton Garden Inn. I get to Mobile, Alabama. I go through Saraland. I'm on I-65.
What time?
8:20.
Oh, you came pretty late.
8:25 p.m. last night. And you get off on the exit, and it's called the connector. And it connects downtown Mobile to I-65, and it's about a 2.5-3 miles bridge that you could go over to go into Mobile. Very much like Miami. You know, Miami's kind of that way. You're kind of on the outskirts, and then if you want to go into the party scene of Miami, you have to go over a bridge, and it's beautiful, and there's the – anyway, so I'm getting off on off of 65, headed towards downtown to Mobile. Now, coming the other direction from somewhere south of Mobile, I don't know where it was, out of the corner of my eye, I see this army of police officers and state trooper lights on, flashing lights. And I look over. Now, remember, they're coming towards me. They get off. And the first state trooper of 7 state troopers, he guns his car and goes horizontal into my lane of traffic and stops.
In front of you.
In front of me.
That's got to be like the worst feeling in the world.
And so I slow down and stop because he when he gunned it, he got about 100 yards ahead of me to give me plenty of time to stop. Here comes another cop. Here comes another state trooper. Here comes another cop. Here comes another state trooper. Then here comes an 18-wheel truck with a tarp over whatever he's carrying, and then 3 cops and state troopers behind him. And then behind that guy is a white Suburban that looked like a federal unmarked vehicle.
So did he ever get out and say you were doing something wrong?
No. He was just stopping, making sure nobody was anywhere around whatever.
You know what it was? I know what it was.
What?
It was the Chinese weather balloon from a few years ago.
They're hauling it back to China.
Yeah.
Well, here's where the story gets good. Once he sees me stop, he takes off again. Then all of them follow behind me, the 18-wheelers in the middle of all of them. And I start going, and I look up at the green sign after I'm kind of behind the whole bunch, because there really wasn't many people on the interstate at that time. They get to the port of Mobile, they have to get off on the Pritchard exit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guys, for those of you that don't know, podcast listeners from all over the world, Pritchard, Alabama. And I can attest to this because I watched a guy bleed out on the sidewalk last night from a shot, 3 rounds to the back with a 9mm. But we'll get it. That was another podcast. Pritchard, Mobile is the number one place in the United States of America to get murdered. Okay, their murder rate's like 1 out of 10,000 people, something crazy. I can attest to that. Watched it last night. But I realized whatever was under that tarp, they were getting off. They had to get off the Pritchard exit to get to the port of Mobile. Now, here comes
the left, though. So they didn't.
Well, here's the crazy part. You know, some bitch in the federal government was like, look, we are shipping this nuclear device to the Ukraine.
That might have been what it was.
We are going to have to go through Pritchard. Now, unless you sons of bitches want a nuclear device in somebody's backyard in Pritchard, I suggest you put about between 7 and 10 cops and state troopers around this thing, because we cannot have, you know, cousin Jesse with a nuclear device or a shipment of AT-4 rocket launchers in his backyard in downtown Pritchard. That cannot happen. But these folks were serious as cancer about making sure whatever this thing was mm-hmm. got to the port of Mobile to go where it was going to go, without any interference at all from anybody. It was, and I've got the video on my phone. I think you've seen it.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen this video? Uh-huh. Dude, you got to go watch that. This is crazy. Guys, we've got a very special podcast. This podcast today, to me, is one of those podcasts that is going to really help a lot of insurance agents out there today. And it is a area of expertise for the gentleman that we have on this show today that I think every single agent listening to this podcast can benefit from, including myself. And it's a huge, huge part of what we all as insurance agents, whether you're captive, whether you're independent, it's kind of like the thing that everybody's always talking about. Like, how do I get that phone to ring? How do I do lead gen? How do we get more prospects, more at-bats, as I like to call it? The more at-bats you get, typically the more business you're going to sell. So without further ado, I want to give him the introduction that he's always deserved. He is originally from Tampa, Florida, and he currently resides in Atlanta, Georgia. He is married to the beautiful Candace, and he's a graduate, Master's of Business Associate. What does that MBA stand for, Bradley? MBA, Master of Business Administration. See how much I know. From Georgia Tech, great school. But wait, there's more. From 2013 to 2015, he was a producer at State Farm Insurance. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, been to the rodeo, seen the clowns. Sales leader and largest, turn up the radio dial, ladies and gentlemen, largest all-state agency in the United States of America. He specializes in combining a data-driven approach with outbound marketing around internet leads to help property and casualty agents grow faster and more efficiently. In 2022, he launched Next Call Club to help agents build an outbound calling team using U.S.-based employees. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor today to introduce to you first-time guest on the Insurance Guys podcast, Mr. Andrew Filer. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the awesome intro, Scott. I'm jazzed hearing the stories. And, you know, before we got started, I was talking to Bradley and I said, man, all y'all guys out of Alabama, it's like insurance mecca. But now after hearing your story, I'm not so sure. Not so sure it's the insurance mecca.
Hey, listen. Everybody needs to listen to this. Andrew, you need to hear this.
I'm listening.
I've had a book that I've been wanting to write for 10 years. And the book title is called Insurance Shangri-La. Because at one time, back in around the 2015 to 2018 timeframe, in Guntersville, Alabama, we had top three nationwide agent in the country, top three Allstate agent in the country, top five independent agency in the country, all living within 3 miles of each other in Guntersville, Alabama, population 5,000. And if I thought I could get any of them to tell the damn truth about how they
won't, though.
Hell no. If I thought I could get any of them sons of bitches to tell the truth on how they grew in one town to be what they became out of Guntersville, Alabama, I would write that book. But I don't think they'd tell me the truth. I think it'd be full of a bunch of, well, you just have to work hard and do your best and go get the phone book and start calling people.
A lot of referrals. We get really lucky.
Y'all, that's a true story right there, ladies and gentlemen. That is unbelievable.
What, wasn't there one guy that one of these carriers, not going to say which, had a program for like retail auto stores, and they went on like eBay and bought Napa Auto Parts t-shirts?
Oh,
and just showed up to the Napa Auto Parts place, acting like they were with corporate to write their insurance.
Here to write your insurance.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, come on. 100% that happened.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call growth hacking.
It's basically version of an affinity ad on Facebook.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, not at all.
You get away with it, but I don't know about the eBay part, but yeah, they had like, they got this program to write Napa Auto Parts stores, and they had like, you know, and these guys have got stormtroopers out there, right? They're beating the streets all over the Southeast selling stuff, but they'd like, you know, put their Napa shirt on, walk in, hey, here to write your insurance. Okay.
It's taking assuming the sale to the next level.
To the next level. And by the way, applaud them for it. I'm not saying it was a bad thing. Amen. I'm saying it's a very unique way and probably a little jealousy on my part. I didn't come up with that.
Yeah.
You know? But Andrew, talk to us a little bit. Get in our DeLorean today. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you got an insurance. Bring us up to today. And then we got to talk a lot about lead gen.
Sure. Yeah, I'll give you the 30 to 60 second journey. So did some undergrad in college, studied finance and economics, always had an affinity towards numbers, but knew I didn't want to do wealth management, didn't want to work on Wall Street, didn't want to do anything like that.
Sure.
I was serving tables down in Naples, Florida, which, you know, if you know anything about Naples, Florida, it's incredibly seasonal. And for a college student, it was amazing because you worked basically from October to May. And then you made a bunch of money and then you had summers off. So from a college kid, you know, I'd work all year, go to school, work, and then summers hung out by the pool with my roommates and for lack of a better term, just drank all day. And it was an awesome experience. And
sounds like it.
I remember I got to a point where I realized I had to get some type of what I would call like an office job. And because I didn't want to, you know, serve tables forever. And so I had a buddy who was working at State Farm and, you know, we used to banter a lot and he said, I think you'd be good at this job. So I just said, look, I need something on my resume. So I took it. And while I was getting my licenses, my job was to cold call businesses and convince them to let me quote their commercial auto insurance. And it was awful. I hated it. Would make 600, 700, 800 calls a day back in the day on an old parallel dialer. Those things are pretty cool. You know, I understand why we're not allowed to use them anymore, yeah, but
super illegal now.
You know, you get somebody picking up every couple minutes. And but learning how to get past the gatekeeper, it was hard. I hated it. I wanted to quit. But I remember telling myself I would give myself a year. Fast forward a few months, got my licenses, and they said, look, you have your licenses now. You can work the internet leads, which, you know, of course, were just consumers going out, filling out a form, and then we were calling them, trying to get them to,
to buy insurance. They're trying to get a Subway gift card.
That's right. Or maybe a Walmart gift card. And the leads are a lot better today than they were then. And, you know, some people might say they're not, but I would argue they're actually really good nowadays. But the long short of it is that I remember getting on the leads and thinking, wow, this is so damn easy. This is so easy. And the reality was that it, relative to calling a business, getting past the gatekeeper, getting the business owner, getting the year, make and model of 9 vehicles, the driver's licenses of 10 drivers, you know, and this is before they had all the technology to pull all these things for you. I thought the leads were so easy. And I had a lot of success writing a lot of insurance. Got recruited by the largest Allstate agency in the country to come over and be the sales leader. They were an inbound focused agency doing a lot of direct mail, a lot of community type things. And it was fine. It worked great, but it was not scalable. He was at a size where he needed to write 400, 500, 600 households a month. And he was getting safely 200. And so I came in and basically said, let's start using internet leads. And the common reaction was those things suck. Nobody's interested. They suck. They're no good. I said, I know that's not true. And, you know, over the next couple of years, installed that program and, you know, turned over a sales team of 15 people in 18 months and was left with about two of them and started breaking records. Fast forward 2018, you know, I was operating as the chief operating officer of that agency. I had an opportunity to go open my own agency with a couple partners and did both at the same time. So opened my agency in Atlanta, Georgia, scratch under the Allstate umbrella, and just hit the 5.5 year mark back in December, hit 37 million. And, you know, about 2022, I left that other agency I was running, started Next Call Club. And so today I have my agency, which I refer to as Peachy Insurance, and then Next Call Club, which is the business services and basically marketing agency arm. And that's what I do today. We're rapidly growing, and then I'm helping other agents do the same thing.
So our mission on this podcast is to help insurance agents any way we can. I don't care if you're an independent agent, State Farm agent, Farmers agent, Allstate agent, Country Financial agent? I don't care. But what I want to do today, Andrew, is I want to help these guys. And remember, Scott Howell is no different than any of these other agents listening to this podcast right now. I believe that more than I believe anything in my life, because I have a lot of friends that are agents. Some are at different seasons of their career, a different quarter of their career. Some are in the first quarter, some are in the third quarter, some are in the fourth quarter. Some do this, some do that. Some focus on personal lines, some focus on commercial. And I realize there may be a little nuance there, but I want you to speak to these agents today and teach them. Have the heart of a teacher and say, all right, guys.
Sure.
No matter where you are in your career, I have built a juggernaut, which you have.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. And you obviously know what you're doing. Teach these guys today of all the things out there that they could do for lead generation. And I'm speaking through them right now. Most of them, if I picked up the phone, if you and I were together, Andrew, and I said, hey, we're going to call 15, 20 agencies right now. And I called them and I said, what's your number one way to get business? They would all say the exact same thing, customer referrals. Most of them would say that. Some would not, for sure. Most of them. What do you see as the number one thing, if you could have one thing to bring business in the door, what do you feel like that would be in terms of lead gen?
So I can tell you what the number one thing has been for me, and then I can you know, zoom out a little bit. For me, sure. It's been using internet leads, you know, AKA people going out, filling out a form, shopping for insurance, and then calling those internet leads and, you know, as quickly as possible to convince them to buy insurance from us.
Stop right there. How much time does your agency force have from the time that lead comes in to the time they're picking up the phone or emailing or whatever they're doing? And I'm sure you'll go
with that. For lead management, right, is what you guys are really good at.
Yeah. So we have everything set up in the CRM. And so basically the idea is that we have people calling all day long. And what we've done is we've set it up to where they hit one button and it basically says get lead. And we have a bunch of rules and prioritization on the back end to say, give them the best available lead to call every time they hit get lead. So if a new lead comes in, that's always going to be the number one lead to call. And if there's 30 new leads that come in, we have prioritization rules to say, which of those 30 leads do we want to call first? But right. Our average speed to lead. So if we think about lead comes in, how fast do we get to dialing on it? It is under a minute. It's about 47 seconds. Last I looked, it was about 2 months ago. We consistently look to have that first dial firing off in under a minute from the time that we got it. And I think that's really important to note because, you know, we can say, look, lead gets, someone hits submit, we call it 45 seconds later. That's not quite true because a bunch of things are happening on the back end with technology. The lead companies are looking for a buyer. So by the time you even get it, it could be 60 to 120 seconds. So if you're calling 45 seconds after that, it might be 2 or 3 minutes. And so understand that you say, look, I called it in 2 minutes. Yeah, but it might actually be 4 or 5 minutes old. And speed matters. And I don't know if you've ever heard any of these crazy stories on Wall Street, right? But these guys who are on the stock floor, they'll move their servers as close as possible to the stock exchange because they know that if a millisecond faster they get that trade in before somebody else, it can be more advantageous. And so, you know, it's kind of like sports, you know, it's a game of inches. Life is won on the margins. And number one for us is leads and getting to them extremely quickly.
And so when you say internet leads,
sure.
You're not talking about going through, I'm just going to throw this one out there because it's just one that I thought of, but could be any of the lead gen places. I know Smart Financial, they call me once a week, want me to buy leads.
Yep.
Quote Wizard, Hometown. Are you're talking about that, or are you talking about your own US-based people that are coming up with these leads? I'm a little confused there.
Sure, it's both. So we are buying the leads themselves, the customer information from the companies like Quote Wizard or Hometown Leads or Smart Financial or EverQuote. And there's, you know, all web leads, there's 30, 40, 50 of these guys out there. And, you know, one of the dirty little secrets of the industry is that they all buy and sell from each other. There's a secondary market for leads.
And a lot of them have in-house agencies too. Like Quote Wizard has an in-house agency.
Absolutely.
Who do you think's getting the better leads?
Correct.
Right.
So there's things about that, right? So it's one of the reasons why having such a great CRM strategy and lead management strategy is important because you can buy an exclusive lead and it might be 50% more expensive, but it doesn't convert at 50% higher rate. So you can clearly see that you've got a little bit of a mismatch there. So if you're buying a lead that is quote unquote shared, AKA, you know, maybe Quote Wizard works it or Alt Web Leads has an agency that works it and other agencies are working too. You have to be quick. You need to be efficient and you need to have a value proposition that's better than the other people out there. But where I bring in the US-based employees with callers is we run a fronter backer model. So we basically buy the leads and then we have specialized outbound callers who call those leads, get them on the line and transfer them to our senior agents or licensed agents who are going to do nothing but quote and sell all day long. And the reality is that we have a culture where our salespeople call too. But if my salespeople are making 100, 200 calls a day, that's a bad day for me because if they can spend 8 hours selling, you know, or 4 hours selling and 4 hours calling, I think most of us would prefer their sales team to be selling all day long. So the outbound callers are the accelerator. So think of it, you know, the callers are the engine and the leads are the gasoline.
Yeah, your callers are almost, for lack of a better term, appointment setters for your agency force. And once they qualify,
correct,
in whatever script, kind of a yellow brick road that you're walking
for
those
sure.
people down, but once that qualification occurs, then they're making the warm transfer over to the next available agent.
Absolutely. So it's really no different than going out to these all these lead companies that we talked about who want to sell you a live transfer or a data lot. You know, an auto transfer might be $45 to $75. I know agents will pay $80 to $120 for a home transfer. And the reality is what you're paying a premium for is the lack of ability, skill, or manpower or knowledge to turn that lead into a call, because that's all they're doing in a lot of cases. Yes, sure. Some people are calling directly into a call center. Yes, some ads are going to be click to call. But for the most part, it's a web form getting converted into a call. And what we try to tell people is, look, like if you do this in-house, or even if you use our service, Next Call Club, our goal is to get you under $30 a transfer. We have some clients who are under 20. I know my agency, I'm about $17 per transfer. And that's the wage, the lead cost, you know, and the technology cost. And so there's a lot of reasons to think about how do you get efficient on calling these things. And I'm an Allstate agent. So I live in a captive world with some technology restrictions. So I can't text the same way an independent agent could, or maybe even a farmer's agent could. I can't email the same way. So I have indexed heavily towards outbound calls and really focusing on that as the main channel. Doesn't mean it's the only thing I focus on. If I had carte blanche to text however I wanted, that would absolutely be a part of the strategy. But the idea is, how do you make it quick, easy, and efficient for the customer? Because they've put all this information online. You're not the only person calling them. And in their mind, they're thinking all types of things, right? They're thinking, oh man, put this in online. Now my phone's blown up. How much time is this going to take? They're going to ask me the same questions that I just put in. How do I know these people are legitimate? So you have to think about, what are all these things that are going through the consumer's head, and how do you overcome that quickly and efficiently in a way that makes them feel comfortable and get you to basically make them feel comfortable enough to give you their payment information over the phone, having never met you. And we can do that in sometimes in under 15 minutes. And so that's the goal.
Well, hello there. Guys, excuse me for interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast, but I'm here today to get you out of aggregator and cluster jail. This may be the most important message I've ever delivered on the Insurance Guys podcast. Guys, are you a member of a cluster or an aggregator? Does your contract have exit fees, termination payments, buyback provisions? It's time to get your freedom back and do what we did here at iProtect Insurance. Join the AC, the future of aggregators in our industry. Best decision we've ever made, guys. Best decision we've ever made. No entry fees, small $200 a month membership fee, over 50 plus carriers for direct appointments. And by the way, new ones coming on board each and every month. You keep 100% of your commissions, profit sharing every year. Guys, we have made in the last 2 years, each year, our agency has made over $100,000 in profit sharing. Here's the best part, guys. And this is the part I'm the most passionate about. No termination or exit fees. You give the AC 60 days notice and you're free. You go get direct appointments wherever you want. There's no buyback provisions, no exit clauses. Guys, if you're a member of another aggregator and you have termination fees, buyback provisions, exit clauses, every single policy you write, you're digging that hole just a little bit deeper. And one day you're not going to be able to get out of it. It's going to be too much. You're going to be taking out a second mortgage on your home to try to get out of a cluster group. Unbelievable. Guys, go to acfree.org. That's acfree.org and register. Find out why over 650 agencies and $3 billion in premium have chosen the AC. And guys, here's the best part. But wait, there's more. Mention the Insurance Guys podcast when you talk to these guys, and you get 6 months. That's 6 months of no membership fee just by mentioning the Insurance Guys podcast. Go today, www.acfree.org, and let me help you get your freedom back. Have a great day.
You know, we've sort of hit a stride here at Portal where we've been consistently putting up some big numbers. And the CRM strategy around how you handle your leads is so important, because so many people, and I did it when I first got into the industry, and we did it a little bit when we started Portal. You've got a some will, some won't, who's next strategy. Right. If you don't want to buy, I'm just going to throw the lead to the side. But you've got to properly work that lead in your system. Because what happens, especially when you get volume, it almost makes your job, it does make your job easier down the road, because that's another lead you don't have to buy. Let's say you don't sell it. That's another lead you don't have to buy down the road.
Absolutely.
And I swear this is true. I almost get just as excited when one of my employees is working a lead that's a target client and we don't close it. I almost get just as excited for a proper X date than I do if they sold it, because that's one less person we have to get interested. We've built the relationship. I know our system's going to stay in touch with them through automation and things like that. And it's going to just increase the chances that we get that later.
Absolutely. And what else does an X date do, right? It tells you that this is a person who answers their phone or responds to emails. Right. It tells you, look, this is what I'm getting into. Maybe they have three or four vehicles, an umbrella, a bunch of toys, rental properties. When we have a brand new lead, a producer always wants that newest lead for whatever reason. Psychologically, they want the newest lead. And I says, wouldn't you rather call somebody who has five vehicles, three homes, an umbrella, you know, is a business owner, maybe you have some commercial exposure and you know exactly what you're getting to, or would you rather call that new lead? And I think 8 out of 10 people would take that new lead. And that's crazy to me, because if they've already shown you that they're willing to talk, willing to answer their phone, they have all these things, to your point, it's a hugely valuable X date. And that's why I always tell people leads are an asset. It hits our income statement as an expense and it doesn't get lodged on the balance sheet as an asset, but they really are assets. And, you know, like we do direct mail, not a lot of it, some targeted direct mail, but if say State Farm is taking a rate increase in Georgia, which has been happening left and right, we might go in and find, give us everybody who owns a home and has three or more cars with State Farm and let's mail those customers.
Right.
Because we know the return is going to be higher because it is a bigger household than the single car renter.
We had an agency we were talking to a couple of years ago that had a specific commercial niche. They had like $1 million in premium with this niche and they wanted to sell it off because the producer that worked that book left. And there was maybe 50 to 150 clients on that $1 million in premium, but they had 3,000 X dates. And that was really what I wanted.
Yeah.
Were the X dates, because if you just do the math on an average close rate with these people that this agency already has a reputation with, like that's like 3 to 4 million in premium.
Absolutely.
And the sale ended up falling through, but I negotiated getting the X dates for free in exchange for covering all the legal cost of the sale falling through. And I'm like, okay, I got what I wanted.
Wow. Andrew, can we have secret time for a minute?
Sure.
Okay.
We call this trust tree time.
Trust tree.
Trust tree. I like it.
Which lead company's the best?
Well, how do you define the best?
Revenue based on number of leads purchased converting to revenue.
Sure. So here's what I'll say. It's going to vary by state, but here's honestly the quick answer to that is any lead company that's willing to sell you a real-time lead with an active prospect URL or a Jornaya lead token, right? Basically, those are just two services that confirm that these are real-time with TCPA opt-in, okay? You don't even have to have the service of active prospect or Jornaya. They're pretty expensive, you know, and doesn't mean they're not good value, but I think for the average agent, they're out of reach. Again, put that to the side. It's not important. The point is that if they don't have an active prospect URL or Jornaya token, they might be one of those gift card leads, right? Hey, I need my iPad, or I want the Starbucks gift card or the Subway gift card or whatever. So the first thing is the people who give you real-time leads with that token or URL will give you the leads that as cheap as possible. Right. There's something to be said about, you know, a better lead costing more money. And I think that can be true to an extent. However, if you can get the lead within your niche with the right filters or the right type of client, you should aim to pay as little as possible, because every $1 of cost that your lead goes up, your quote rate needs to go up anywhere from 4 to 6% to keep that cost per quote the same. And so, you know, if I'm a smaller agent and I'm looking for one or two lead companies to work with, right, I might go to an EverQuote, or I might go to an All Web Leads, or I might go to Hometown Quotes or Quote Wizard. The reality is that a lot of these lead companies are not really that much different than each other, but they might quote you different prices for their leads depending on how many buyers they have in that state. Because if Smart Financial has 20 agents buying leads, you know, for whatever agency umbrella you're under, a State Farm, Farmers, Allstate, Independent, whatever, but Quote Wizard has two, Quote Wizard can probably give you a better price.
Yeah.
The other question that you have to ask that lead company is all of your lead traffic created equally? Where are these leads coming from? Is it a mix? Is it a blend? Well, can I get your best quality traffic, right? And the best quality traffic is almost always going to be search traffic, but there's only so much of that. And something I talk to people about a lot is asking that question about search. Is search traffic will always be the best but it's going to be limited. So if you need 10 leads a day, maybe you can get away with just search traffic, and you might be willing to pay a little bit more for that because it's somebody with high intent. But a lot of leads are generated from what I call stumbling, right? Some people search, AKA go to Google or wherever they go, Bing, maybe DuckDuckGo. Yeah, if you don't want the NSA watching you, they're probably watching anyways, but you know, stumble.
The DuckDuckGo leads are probably the most cautious when you reach out to them.
Exactly, so, right? There's a freeze on their credit.
Here's my new lead company. It's called Black Helicopter Leads, and it only come from DuckDuckGo.
I would imagine you get some sovereign citizens every now and then through the DuckDuckGo leads.
Hey, for sure.
Andrew, we got to stop. We got to stop right now because some of what you just said to me that I wrote down is you were speaking Mandarin Chinese, okay?
I hear you. Yep, I hear you.
You started talking about lead tokens. What the hell is a lead token?
So what it is, and this is something that I think peels the curtain back a little bit on the industry, is that it's actually an incredibly sophisticated industry. And so every lead, let's call it like every lead has a piece of DNA. Okay. But we can't access that DNA if we don't have, you know, the tool to look at the DNA. Jirnaya, or active prospect, is the tool that helps you look at that lead's DNA. And what's in that DNA is, well, where did they fill out the form? How long did they spend filling out the form? What does the TCPA opt-in language look like? And so understanding those types of things can give you a lot of value. And again, I don't want to get too much in the weeds on all of those little pieces of information. Just the fact that a company has that information on the lead is a huge green flag. It's going to show you that lead is probably in real time. It's probably legitimate. It's not going to be one of those gift card leads or somebody who filled out a mortgage and clicked a checkbox that said, okay, I'm open to a home quote as well. Mm-hmm. So again, I tried to dumb it down there a little bit, make it a little bit more simple. It's not about the information that's on the token, so to speak. It's just the fact that the token is there.
So next secret time question.
Sure.
What does the new FCC ruling that came out, I believe December 9th or 11th of 2023, to try to cut down or eliminate robocalling and from what I've read, people doing exactly what these lead generation companies are doing, where they're going, all right, we're going to sell this to Scott and Bradley and Andrew and four other agents, and now seven people are calling the same person. How does that affect what you're doing?
So the first thing I'll say about the FCC ruling is, I think it's a good thing overall for consumers. I think it's a good thing overall for insurance agents. There will be a little bit of disruption in the short run. And so basically, in a nutshell, what this says is today, somebody can go out and when they click that TCPA, I allow EverQuote or Smart Financial and its partners to call me. Okay. So on these websites somewhere, I don't know if it's easy to find or not. I haven't gone and looked. There's this long list of partners. So basically what it says is if you're on that list of partners, there could be 400 people on that list of partners. When you opt in as a consumer, you're getting permission. You're giving permission for any one of those 400 people to call you. Okay. The way that it's changing to is it would say something like, well, I'm only okay if Allstate, Smart Choice, Farmers, State Farm, Portal Insurance, only they can call me. And so what the change means is that, you know, that lead company can't sell it to any of these 400 partners, they have to sell it to whoever the customer has opted in for. Now, I think in the short run, what's going to happen is you're going to see less leads be available, not less consumers, less leads. And so today, maybe the average lead is sold, you know, three times or four times when that customer fills it out.
What's the difference between less leads and less consumers?
Well, this is where it comes in, right? So say you fill out a form, Scott, and now your information is sold to four different agents. Well, there's one consumer, four leads. Mm. So you're a lead to that State Farm agent, that Allstate agent, Portal Insurance, Peachy Insurance, right? And then here's where it really goes off the rails is that sometimes a reseller or a middleman will come in and buy, you know, that fourth spot or that fifth spot. And what they're supposed to do is sell it to, maybe they're supposed to sell it to a State Farm or an Allstate or an independent agent or a Smart Choice agent, but instead they sell it to another Allstate agent. Now two Allstate agents have it. Or even worse, they sell it to a data broker who then sells it eight more times. And then one of those eight times is another data broker who sells it another seven times. And then 60 days later, it gets sold as an age lead to a bunch of people who are pushing robocalls out. And so this idea is there's this really long tail on a piece of information that's submitted online. And what they're trying to do is shorten that and give control back to the consumer to say, look, the only people who are allowed to call me or solicit me for these products are the people I've given permission to. I can't have my information sold to some data broker who's going to, you know, put my number into a database and they're going to robocall me with, you know, a bunch of different types of ads or offers, insurance related or not. That's the big difference.
But it almost sounds like what you're describing is almost like a workaround to get around the one-off, you know, because what I've read was like that lead generation company, instead of selling it to four different, you know, State Farm and Allstate, Farmers, it's a one-off type scenario where they can only sell that lead to one agent. But what you just described to me sounds almost like a workaround to that.
I wouldn't call it a workaround. I think it's
because I'm still getting a call from four or five different agencies.
Right.
So what's the difference?
The ones that you selected that you are open to receiving a call from.
I haven't selected anybody.
Well, that's because you're smart and you didn't fill out a form.
Oh, I see. So that's where they get you. Yeah. You've gone and filled out the form online. And when you click whatever button is at the bottom with probably type that's like two font.
Right.
It's like, by clicking this box, you have
exactly
agreed to allow our partners to
exactly
contact you. Okay. Hmm. Okay.
Yep. And so that third party consent, right? You are giving your consent to third parties. And the change is that you're now giving it first party, saying I give permission to EverQuote and its partners, Allstate, Farmers, Smart Choice, and Portal Insurance to call me.
So there may be some back to sort of the lead management strategy. Sure. There may be some things you want to keep behind the scenes, but
yeah,
these guys and gals that are calling or fielding the calls for you, what's their script? Like what's the, and I'm sure it changes all the time.
It's, you know, it's really not that crazy or impressive, right? It's what we try to do is we try to just be pleasant, quick and efficient. And and so it's just a very general, hey, is this Bradley from, you know, or is this Bradley? Yeah, this is Bradley. This is, you know, Andrew from Allstate. We're giving you a call because we had an auto quote here started for you. We just wanted to confirm a few pieces of information.
Right.
And one or two things are going to happen. You know, they're going to say, okay, cool. Right. And if they say, okay, or like, uh-huh, or what do you got?
Yeah.
Basically what they do is they start feeding that information to the salesperson and then they'll transfer to that salesperson. They'll bring the salesperson into the line. Salesperson introduces themselves. The caller drops off. They keep calling. More often, they will give an objection of some type.
Yeah.
And what we do is we just teach them to use a framework that we call AEO. It's A is acknowledge their objection. E is empathize with the objection. And then O is overcome the objection. And so we'll say, hey, you know what? Like, I totally hear you. I'm so sorry to be interrupting you at work. Like, I know how annoying it can be to fill something out online and get a bunch of, have you been getting a bunch of phone calls? Yeah, I've been getting a bunch. That sucks. Look, I really want to make this easy for you. Like, I've got this 95% of the way there. Like, my senior agency asked a few questions to make sure you qualify for the discounts. That way, when we give you a rate, there's no bait and switch, no surprises. Let us take this off your plate for you. Would that be okay? And a lot of times we'll be like, all right, you know, and by then the senior agent's on the line and they jump right in. And so it's really about what we tell people is a couple things. We say, look, do not overcome the objection without acknowledging and empathizing with it first. The second thing is that we are interrupting people. We are calling them. The reason that people like to make the phone ring is because when customers call you, it's easier to sell because they're calling you on their time. They've already been interested by something else. And so we once had a caller who was new say in the chat with all the other callers said, look, a bunch of people are telling me that they're not interested. And one of the senior callers like warmed my heart and said, nobody's interested. It's our job to make them interested.
Mm.
And it's like, if they're not interested, it means that we're not interesting. And so we have to be interesting. We have to be willing to ask questions and listen, but also most importantly, we have to be okay and comfortable with interrupting their day. And in order to feel comfortable interrupting their day, we have to feel like we have something of value to offer them.
Yeah.
And if we cannot do that, then we cannot be successful.
So I'm going to respectfully disagree with what you said earlier, Andrew. Okay. You came out of the gate when Bradley asked that question and you were like, oh, it's really pretty simple. No. Let me explain something to everybody listening to this right now. He's pulling the old, it's really simple. And on the face, it looks very simple. There is so much nuance in tonality, how you say what you say, the psychological framework that he has set up with his acronym AEO, there ain't nothing about this simple, folks. This is about putting together a process for his appointment setters using PhD level FBI psychology slash knowing exactly what to say, the tonality to say it in, the yellow brick road of here's the 20 different objections you're going to get. And now we're going to play the mental jujitsu of when they say that, you say this.
Yep.
Then practicing that about 10,000 times, maybe not that many, in order to get so good at it that it's like breathing to you. And then maybe we can start making the outbound appointment setting calls. On the face of this, it looks so simple. I just pick up the phone, call them, and, you know, just ask them a few questions. No. This is black belt level mental jujitsu that his appointment setters are using. And he has created a process within his scripts that takes advantage of all that. Now, you can disagree with me or not, but that's just the truth.
Yeah, I would say I think the approach is simple, but hard to execute, right?
Correct.
Simple, not easy.
Correct.
It's not easy to do. It's easy to talk about, not easy to do. And I think I'd be remiss, you know, it's to not give credit to the team. Is I've got some wonderful people that, you know, that have worked on this together for a really long time. And, you know, I always talk to people about, you know, they say, what do you do? And I say, look, like, we do a lot of outbound calls on internet leads. And that's easy to copy. You can go buy a bunch of internet leads and you can go make a bunch of outbound calls. But I tell people all the time is that, like, you shouldn't be afraid about sharing things for two reasons. One, 99% of people ain't going to do anything with it. They're just going to go back and get tied up. Second is, it's not the big ideas that make you successful. The big ideas get you maybe about 70% of the way there, maybe 75. It's all of the little tiny tweaks and ideas that come from the organization and the team that collectively become that like local knowledge inside your agency. That's what takes you that next 25% of the way and puts you in the top, you know, few percent. And so, you know, outbound in general is harder. It is, but it's more scalable. It's more controllable. It's something that you can pour gasoline on and really light it up. But again, there's a lot of things that go into it. But if you get it right, you can get extremely targeted. Like, one of the things I love about internet leads is that right now I'm in a pretty tough underwriting environment. I need homes that are built in a certain year. I need, you know, certain types of driving records. Well, I can target all that with internet leads. And yeah, maybe I can do that with records on mail as well, but not to the same extent that I can with an internet lead. I can get roof type. I can get square footage. I can get siding materials, all these things, and then use data to look at, is there correlation between any of these data points and higher close rates? And then trying to make, does this make sense or why? And so, you know, internet leads give you a ton of data points right from the get-go. With a lot of other types of marketing, you have to gather those things. So it's just, there's a trade-off.
So on that note, I got a question I want to ask you, because I know there's people listening to this thinking this question. So I'm a proponent of there's something for everyone, right? I think
for sure
captive agents tend to think that captive is the only way. Independent agents tend to almost cult-like think independent's the only way. I mean, and I'm right middle of the road. I own two independent agencies. My wife is a captive agent. My sister-in-law is a captive agent. I came from that world. Scott came from that world. So the big question of the day is, why Allstate?
Yeah, you know, it's a question that I think is a fair one to ask. And it's a question that I ask myself and my partners ask every year. And it's something we'll continue to ask every year. And if we were independent, I think we would ask the same question. Why independent? You know, why not captive? Why not this opportunity or that opportunity? And I think that's healthy. I think over committing to any idea, you know, some people might call that passion. I think one of the coolest things that we can do as humans is change our mind as we get new information. And so the short answer on Allstate is that it's just where I started, right? It's I had a lot of knowledge about it. I had a lot of relationships with Allstate. And when I opened my agency, I got an Allstate scratch contract. And that Allstate scratch contract was incredible. Just stupid how much money you could make on it if you knew what you were doing coming in. And so when I opened my agency, I started with, like, I think eight or nine producers day one. And the way that the Allstate scratch contract worked was that it was a 36-month contract, and everything you wrote went into this cumulative bucket. So if you got off to a really hot start, you got paid on everything you wrote in those first few months for the next 35, 34, 33 months. And so there, it was just, the money was just incredible. And then I remember back in 2019, I was having this conversation. I was like, man, maybe it's time to go independent. And then Allstate came out with their variable compensation, which is their new business comp. And the trade-off was, is that renewal compensation dropped, but the lifetime value of, you know, the average customer actually went up a little bit. And so that was exciting. And then I got an opportunity to do another scratch contract, which was like another rocket ship. And then they made variable comp even better. And so,
and that's why you see a lot of Allstate agents will start, build up, sell, and then start another one, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
exactly. And so I have 37 million and that's under five or six different agency numbers. And so part of our strategy this year is to divest and sell one or two of those off and then buy back in on maybe a distressed asset that we can grow, because what we know we're really good at is generating a lot of new business using internet leads and outbound callers at a very low cost per acquisition. And so it becomes a very interesting framework. And Allstate is one of the few companies from a captive perspective that allows you to have equity in your book and sell that book. A lot of captive agents don't have that or that freedom. But the answer is that whether you're independent or captive, there's nothing is so black and white. If it was so black and white, then these captive agencies wouldn't be there. But if you're someone just getting started, it can be an amazing opportunity to start captive because you can get a lot of support, a lot of brand recognition. And I think you see a lot of people start captive, sell their agency and go independent when they have more connections, more understanding of the industry, more frameworks, maybe more money in their pocket. But the reality is it's a lot easier to scale when your average new business commission is 22 or 27%. You know, Farmers is pretty high. State Farm with their bonus can be pretty high. Allstate's are like 27%. It's a lot easier to scale when your new business commission is that high. If you're in the independent world, you're getting paid 10, 12, 14, 15. You don't have the cash flow, and you get more on the back end. And so there is no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to all of them, and the landscape is shifting rapidly. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things.
It's going to look different 24 months from now for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For 5 years, I've been calling what he just described the Allstate shell game. And God bless the people. So what I always say about that is, if you're damn good at selling insurance and you're growing the way your agency is, why wouldn't you do that? But I have no clue how Allstate affords to do that, where they let these agents play what I call the Allstate shell game. Cause I know four or five agents that are doing similar things.
Allstate probably likes his deal because he's selling off these books. They can then go give that to a new agent.
Right.
And go that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, once he's,
you're basically helping tee up all of the new agents, and then you're taking over distressed assets, underperforming assets. So
right.
For them, what you're doing is probably exactly what they want everybody doing.
But I'm just talking about
over
a 7 year period.
Yeah.
Continuing to pay 27, 28. I mean, whatever these, I call them enhanced commissions.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, before I let you go, cause we got to run.
Sure.
I'm going to let you help me selfishly, but maybe this will help some other agents.
Absolutely.
So we use an AMS system called HawkSoft. They're a sponsor of the podcast. And you're the man that could probably answer this question. They sent me an email last week. And the reason I'm asking you this is you seem like a guy that's really up on all this. But it was a action required email. Please submit proof of compliance with 10 DLC texting regulations. This is a reminder of the previous email sent to this address, which I didn't respond to because I have no clue what they're talking about, regarding additional information required from your agency to verify your compliance to 10 DLC business texting regulations with your use of HawkSoft text messaging. What in the hell are they talking about?
Sure. So I might butcher this a little bit, but I think what's most important to know is that, have you ever had somebody call your cell phone and it says spam likely?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now text messages are doing that too, right? Maybe like unknown sender, you might not even get a notification. So there's spam likely for text messages as well. So if your agency is making a lot of calls or sending a lot of texts, your phone number can get flagged as spam. So when you reach out to a consumer, it's showing up that way. And what they want to do is they want to know that you actually have ownership of these numbers and get them registered that you are a legitimate business, so you're not getting flagged as spam. Because what happens is, and again, I might butcher this a little bit, but between the telephony service, which a lot of times is Twilio, right? They don't really work with agencies, but almost every AMS, CRM.
No, that's how we text mainly, is through Twilio.
Yes, through Twilio. So Twilio has really been cracking down on this because they can get fined if the numbers are not registered properly or flagging. So what you've got to do is you got to show them that you own. So if you have an invoice from Hawksoft, or if you have an invoice from whatever telephony provider you have that shows those phone numbers, get that to Hawksoft. And then they're saying, hey, what else do you need from me to make sure that we're getting these things registered and compliant?
So it says submit proof here.
Yep.
And it says my agency ID, my email, texting opt-in disclosure. Businesses are required to include a texting opt-in disclosure in the form where a client provides their phone number. See the guidelines and what format. So how do I get compliant again? What did you say I needed to do?
Yeah, so part of it's registering the numbers, but what they're wanting to see based on what you just
registering
said
client numbers?
No, you register your agency in Twilio.
Your agency phone numbers. And then what they're wanting
to do in Twilio.
Okay. Yeah. And what they're wanting is proof that you have an opt-in disclosure language saying, hey, if you put your phone number in, you're giving the right to me to text or call. And,
gotcha.
You know, you can create something. You know, I have a TCPA attorney. I use Eric Troutman at the Troutman Amin firm. Okay. They own this website called TCPA World. Actually, really fascinating thing. If you're wanting to stay up on the FCC rulings, they cut through a lot of the noise, right? They're not, the sky is falling. They're not, everything is, nothing will change. It's, hey, this is what it actually means for you. And here's how to make sure that you're compliant in your agency, or if you're a lead generator or a lead buyer, to make sure you're compliant by, you know, December, January next year when all this goes into effect.
Right. And so how do I get in touch with Eric Troutman to help me figure this out?
I just sent him a friend request. I want to have him on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's great.
Would you mind making that intro?
Yeah. Eric Troutman and Pooja Amin are both incredible. And so I'll absolutely make an intro to both y'all.
Okay, cool. Guys, Andrew, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you being on the show. I want to tell you a story.
Sure.
Talking to the CEO of Nationwide back 2018, 2019 time frame. We're talking about Nationwide's transition to independent. But I remember part of that conversation was like, look, it ain't about the products necessarily. Smart people are going to be successful whether they're an independent or captive. You know, it's the agent. It's the agent. You know, you give some people an Allstate agency or an independent agency, they're going to fail.
Right.
Either one.
Yeah.
For sure.
And customers generally don't care.
No.
They just want their problem solved.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I agree with that.
And I've never agreed with somebody. And I've thought about that conversation so many times because he was the one that was like, look, Scott, you're a guy that's going to be successful whether you're selling Nationwide, Allstate, Farmers, State Farm, independent, doesn't matter.
Working at the Flying J.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Truly would be successful there. I think you're that guy, Andrew. You would be, and I'm so proud of you because you would be uber successful whether you're selling Allstate, independent, tax services, Mercedes-Benzes, storage unit houses. I mean, it wouldn't matter. You're going to be successful. And I think you are, to me, moving forward, when people start talking about, oh, I wouldn't be. Why would you want to be an Allstate agent when you could be independent? I'm going to go, Andrew, because the same guy or girl that would be successful as an independent would probably also be mega successful selling Allstate insurance as well. And that's
absolutely,
I'm sorry, that's just what I believe. Some people may disagree with me.
No, I agree. I mean, I'll have captive agents that are failing reach out to me thinking about they're going independent. I'm like, look, it's
something's,
that's not
something,
the solution.
Something ain't right.
You know,
it's, right. It's, you know what that's like, Bradley? This might be the greatest thing I've ever said. Might want to clip this. It's just like a marriage not working and they go, you know what we need to do? Have a baby.
Yes.
Yes. Am I right? Is that not the exact same thing?
Yeah. I thought you were going to go a different direction with it, but yeah.
Anyway.
I thought you were going to say, you know what we need to do? We need to start swinging.
We need to start having sex with other people. That'll really get us right where we need to be. Of course, I didn't put my phone on airplane mode and that son of a bitch has rang 14 times in 5 minutes.
We got another guest coming on, so we got to
wrap it up. Hey, Andrew, guys. Thank you so much for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks so
as
much,
As I close every episode, rewards come from action, not discussion.
Amen.
Get your ass out from behind that desk today. Go out into the big, bad world. Make relationships with people. Figure out whatever way you need to figure out how you can be super, uber successful to give yourself more at bats and do it with the types of clients that are in your client avatar, the types of people, the types of businesses that you want to write. Go make money for your family, for your wife, for your husband, for your kids' college fund, and for your parents and in-laws that are struggling out there. Go make money for them. Write good business for the companies that you represent, and write good business for the agencies that you represent. Bradley Flowers, I love you.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Andrew.
I love it. Thanks, guys. And last thing I'll just say is that if anybody wants to reach out, I'm always happy to give help or some of my time. I've gotten a tremendous amount of help and mentorship in my career. And so if you have questions, find me on LinkedIn, or I'll send my information over to Bradley and Scott to put in the show notes.
So, love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having us.
Guys, you are listening to the Insurance Guys podcast, and we love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our family. And we'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at scott@iprotectinsurance.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to portalinsurance.com or email him at bradley@portalinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening to our show and being a part of our family. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on the next episode of the Insurance Guys podcast. Take care.